If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Miss the first hour? A little basketball talk, a little poo talk, and AJ being completely wrong twice.
Yeah.
And having to admit it.
But I apologized, right?
You did. And a lot of sexual harassment talk.
Man, I didn't apologize for that.
Well, no one accused you yet.
Oh, good.
Yeah, although I did see a report on I just saw this on the break. I guess that 18-wheeler fell off of 59 onto a car. And if you haven't seen it, you just imagine driving along, and then truck!
And then an 18-wheeler falls on you?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that.
And then you look at it, and it's like, oh, that guy's got to be dead. No, the driver crawled out of the car. Somebody got out of that thing.
That's crazy.
Truck driver taken to hospital. So good on you, guy in car.
Yeah.
I'm glad you survived that. Pretty sure most people who get 18-wheelers dropped on their heads don't make it.
They usually don't survive that.
713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. So I've got some non-sportsy stuff. I've got some sportsy stuff. Just kind of, I don't know if we want to kind of get into the NFL a little bit again, you know, just for people who missed it yesterday.
Today Thursday?
Today is Thursday. We'll have Brad Powers on at 5:30 so you guys can talk college basketball betting.
Is that what he likes to talk?
Yeah.
He's on that?
He's on that.
Okay.
Yeah, he switches over to basketball now. So I think you two could have a very good conversation about this.
Okay.
So we got that at 5:30. Kind of whatever you want to get to here.
Let's go.
I'll let you pick because so far.
We've been pretty non-sports.
Yeah, the first,
I think we
first,
should go sportsy.
First segment, non-sportsy. Second segment was sportsy. Third segment was pretty sportsy, but then the last segment was completely non-sports.
The third segment was sportsy?
Yeah, I think it was. I think we were talking about...
I thought that was the mega church guy.
Well, yeah, that was the second half of the segment. So, yeah, on percentage, we've been more non-sports than sportsy.
Okay.
Then we went on to poop.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's time
but
to get back on
before that, we were
sports.
Talking about Yu Darvish, which, you know...
Okay.
But not how he pooped the bed in the World Series.
Although, okay. I mean, we could discuss that.
No, that's quite all right. So, all right, so you want sports. I've got...
I like this new format where I can choose A or B. Okay, now you can choose C or D. I like that game.
But really, there's only two choices. We usually do sportsy or non-sportsy.
Right.
So,
but yeah, but then now you're taking it to the next level. You're like, well, I've got this and this. I'm interested in this game.
Okay, well, we're just trying to mix it up a little bit.
Okay.
Falcons at Eagles. Let's talk about this a little bit. +3. Number hasn't moved.
It moved a little bit.
Well, I guess it's at 3 now.
It started at 2.5.
Okay. So at 3, which that kind of changes my opinion a little bit. I just don't trust the Falcons, and I don't trust Nick Foles. I don't think I can play this game, AJ. I've been trying to find an angle, maybe over 41.5, but I'm not even sold on that.
Yeah.
Because I think if the Eagles are going to win, I mean, if the Falcons are going to win, they're going to score some points, and I think 41.5 should be doable. But I don't feel that good about it.
Well, the thing for me is if I took 2.5 early, in hindsight, I kind of wish I would have just left the whole game alone. I didn't. I the more I look at it, the more I delve into it. I hit the -2.5 because it was an instant reaction from their win. And I was expecting a plus number. I didn't get it, and I was like, "God, if that number goes up, I want to make sure I'm getting it now," which it has. But I'm not thrilled that I have a -2.5 ticket. If I were in your shoes, I would stay away.
I think that's what I'm leaning, as I'm staying away from it. I might, if it gets to 3.5, I might actually take the Eagles.
Might be interesting then. Yeah.
So that I think there is a little overreaction to last week, and maybe a little overreaction to, you know, and the Eagles sucked in the last game, but it didn't really have anything to play for, even though their starters did play. So yeah, I don't have a feel for, and I really haven't had a good feel for either one of these teams all year. Almost every time I thought the Falcons were going to maul somebody, they didn't.
Right.
And the Eagles, I was late to the party on, so I will probably be passing on this. Titans at Patriots, I'm over 47 on this.
You're over 47?
I'm over 47. I think the Patriots may put up 47 on their own.
Okay, I'm strong under 47. Okay. Because I think that it's going to be a game where the clock's moving constantly. It's not going to be good weather. You know, the Titans are going to run the ball, whether they're up or down. That's what they do. That's what they did against Kansas City. They were down. They kept running. That's because that's all they know how to do.
Against the number 32 run defense in the NFL. So I think
where do you think the Patriots sit? But 31.
Yeah, but you know what? You give me 2 weeks to prepare for a team, and Bill Belichick, they'll find a way to stop that. I think the Patriots house the Titans.
Oh, I do too.
I might even give up the 14. I think this is going to be. I think this is going to be ugly. The Titans are not a good football team.
No, they're not.
And last week's
But the matchup, Patriots aren't as dominant as they've been in the past either.
No, but they will be here. I think Belichick in this round against this opponent, and I think the Patriots put up 40 on their own.
Yeah, not me. I think it's a relatively low-scoring game.
And that's the thing. If you like the Titans, you should like the under. If you think the Patriots are covering, you should like the over. I think they correlate. No, we're on opposite sides of this one.
Yeah, I'm seeing here. I'm not getting a 14 yet on my side. I've still got 13.5 and over under 48.
Yeah, 13.5. I like even more.
Yeah, I'm probably buying a half point to go with the Titans.
Well, if I'm still at 13.5, I'll take that and take the Patriots. Patriots and over.
All right.
Jaguars and Steelers. I'm seeing 7.5 now.
Yeah, I'm locked in at 7. I would probably still play 7.5. I think Pittsburgh just drubs them here. The Jags are another team. They're not great at stopping the run. I think that Pittsburgh's going to have it's going to be the Le'Veon Bell show. Jacksonville may score a little, which if I had to choose over or under, I would probably choose over.
Yeah, it's only 41.
It's a low number, you can't trust Blake Bortles. You can't. If you watched that game last week against Buffalo, Blake Bortles is back to It's the worst thing if he's got to throw the ball. And this isn't Buffalo. He's going to have to throw the ball at some point.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be bad.
I think for the Jaguars to win, they're going to have to do what they did last time, which is pick Ben Roethlisberger off 5 times, and I just don't see that happening.
No way.
And even as bad as he was in that game, the Steelers were still in it until the fourth quarter when he had a couple late ones. So, I'm probably staying away from this. I might be with you on the 41 going over that, but I do think the Steelers get it done here. Saints at Vikings. Vikings -4 now I'm seeing.
Yeah, this game, I have to pass on this game. I know we're supposed to take a side one way or the other.
I like the Saints, and I talked about it a lot yesterday as to why. I think the winner of this game, here's a bold prediction for you. The winner of this game is going to the Super Bowl. Whichever one of these two teams wins will beat either the Eagles or the Falcons in the NFC Championship game. I think it's a close game. I don't think the Vikings should be giving 4 points. I think it's a much different Saints team than we saw going there at the beginning of the year. And I think I think it's going to come down to the wire. I think it's a field goal game. So I'll take the Saints +4 if I think it's a field goal game.
Yeah, I would too. I'm just, man, like I said yesterday or day before when we talked about this, when you dig into the advanced metrics on the Vikings, they are a special defense. And I'm excited to see this game probably more than any of the other games because I have no idea what's going to happen here. I really have no clue. So
yeah, I feel good that it's going to be a close game, and that being the case, I'll take the points. And
that's fair.
And I think the Saints can win. I like the Vikings a lot. Don't get me wrong. I'm sold on this team. That's why I believe whoever wins this is winning the NFC. So there you go. There's some sportsy for you.
A little bit of sports.
Yeah. Sports and gambling.
I'm surprised you're giving up 14 points in an NFL playoff game.
Yeah. I think the gap between these two teams is a hell of a lot more than 14 points.
Yeah.
I mean, look, let's not get caught up in what the Titans did last week. They were able to run the ball against a team can't stop the run.
But let's not get caught up in that, you know, they're the Patriots. You put this team in a different uniform, I'm telling you, they're not as impressive they've been in the past. They've lost two home games already this year. They're vulnerable. I mean, the Titans aren't good.
Probably
not.
I don't think this game is close.
All right.
So, there you go. Squeeze in a call real quick. Hey, somebody got a TV going that's turned up or something? I'm hearing something.
Maybe the TV in here is on. The volume on the TV on it is in here.
Let's squeeze Alan on real quick.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hey, sports,
How's
Alan.
How's it going, man? Yeah, hey, man. I think you guys may be right, man. I think that everybody made, not only myself and you guys, but I think everybody made a after-game prediction when it comes to the Falcons, man. The more I think about it, man, the Eagles, man, players are probably sitting back thinking, man, after all the games they won, nobody giving them no credit. And when you look at it, you got guys like Julio. Julio already has a problem getting into the end zone. And over history, it tells you, man, the big game receivers, man, very seldom make a big impact in playoff games. So, man, I'm thinking now that the Philadelphia Eagles are sitting back, man, they're going to come out fine. Whether they got Nick Foles playing or not, I think that defense is going to get after them. We know what happens to the Falcons, man. They won last week, man. We know they can blow it. And going up to Philly, man, it's going to be pretty tough. And I just don't trust the Falcons. And Matt Ryan has came back down to earth. So I think when it's all said and done, you're right. I think it's going to be in the business. Somebody probably, whoever wins the later game is probably going to be it. But when it's all said and done, I think history is going to keep on rolling for the Patriots, man. Even though they are suspect a little bit, I just don't see the Tennessee Titans having quite enough. And Pittsburgh and Jacksonville, you're right. Ben ain't going to throw five interceptions, man.
Well, I mean, let me be clear about something. I'm by no stretch saying that I think the Titans will win the football game. I don't. I'm just not in the business of giving up two touchdowns in NFL playoff game or in regular season games for that matter. That's just it's just something I'm not willing to do. But I'm not saying the Titans will win this game or that I think that they can, you know, give the Patriots any kind of a push. Really, I think 14 points is getting to where it's tough for me to even consider. As far as the Eagles beating the Titans or Eagles beating the Falcons, if the Eagles win this game, they're gonna have to run the ball well,
which they're capable of doing.
They are. And it's LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi, one of those guys is going to have to step up and have a big game. And, you know, you saw last week, Todd Gurley had a good game. But if you can't supplement that somehow, and Jared Goff was unable to supplement it, I just don't know if I trust Nick Foles. I think Nick Foles is and people talk about, oh, well, we've seen Nick Foles do some big things before. Yeah, like, was that 4 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean... That's like saying, well, we've seen Colin Kaepernick take a team to the Super Bowl. I mean, okay, we're talking about – I've seen Phil Simms do some things, too. Doesn't mean I want him playing quarterback for me this week. What I've seen of Nick Foles the last couple games, it ain't real good. So, and I'm not talking about the Dallas game because I'm wiping that one off the board. But that Oakland Raiders game where he looked rough – he was okay against the Giants. He ended up with four touchdown passes, but none of that was really down the field work. Atlanta's not going to allow anything easy. If you're going to beat Atlanta passing, you're going to have to beat their corners. I don't know. I think this is it's such a good matchup. It really is. And like I said the other day, the more you look at the Eagles, you realize if you look at all their stats, go down the line, look at all their deep stats, their yards per play, and things like that. They're not that good of a team. They had a really, really good quarterback carrying them through a lot of junk.
Last eight games of the season, you know how many times the team finished within 13.5 of the Patriots?
How many?
Twice.
All right.
Once was that Dolphins loss, and then once was the Steelers. Everything else was considerably more. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center. This report is sponsored by Indeed.com. 59 Southbound University. There's still a big 18-wheeler accident blocking the feeder road. There's also a problem on 288 northbound at Orem. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com. The ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center is brought to you by Uberito, home of the $5 chicken burrito Monday. Uberito above and beyond your basic burrito.
Forget, but I'll never forgive you. Don't you know, true friends stab you in the front.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. Holly says, "Sigh, I can't wait for my entire segment y'all dedicate to me when we win."
That'll be good.
Yeah, well.
We'll, you got to win the whole thing for that to happen.
Yeah, we'll let you call in and tell us how stupid we are, Holly, if that happens. I feel pretty safe in that one.
That's a long way off.
Yeah, yeah. But because I do think they have a chance this week.
There'll be three upsets is what it will take.
Yeah, but I really believe whoever wins, and I think the Saints and the Vikings are the two best teams left in the NFC. I think whoever wins that is going to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I think either one of those teams will beat either the Falcons or the Eagles.
See, the Saints, I don't trust the Saints to beat the Falcons because they always play each other so even. Those guys go back and forth.
It would be in the Superdome, which I think is an edge. And I don't think the Falcons are consistent enough to win three in a row.
Yeah.
So, and the Saints at least did have that stretch of season where they were.
Yeah.
So I trust them a hell of a lot more than I do the Falcons. So I feel very good about that prediction for whatever it's worth. Which is absolutely nothing, but that's what we're paid for, right?
I guess.
Let's have opinions.
Yeah.
See that.
You got mad at me yesterday and said that we shouldn't speculate.
Well, no, because I think you were speculating on something that wasn't true.
That's my speculation.
Well, I know, but
you can't tell me it's not true. You don't know if it's true.
I know what I was told about it. So it didn't. Who was on today that was explaining what happened with that trade for somebody? Was it?
Somebody was on our air?
No, yeah, on our station.
Let me double check.
Josh knows. Ask Josh because he told me about it, and then I forgot because I'm old and I drink a lot. See, I think that's your problem. You're not drinking right now. That's why you're making all these mistakes. You're off your game. You're a quart low.
No, it was Jake Kaplan with the Chronicle. He was on with Barry and Joel.
So what did he say?
You want me to pull the audio?
Well, just find out what he said specifically about it.
Here's another thing. If you're an under player, or I guess if you play a total, this is something to consider. As always, the weather. I'm looking at the forecast for Philly and Foxborough, the two Saturday games. Supposed to be torrential downpours in both those games.
Well, see, I thought yesterday you said Philly was supposed to be 60 degrees.
It's dropped to 49 now.
Uh-oh. So you're saying the weather guys were wrong?
I'm saying the weather guys, and they could be wrong again. The one that has remained the Saints-Vikings forecast has remained a constant because it's inside. But Jags,
you sure about that?
Jags-Steelers, it's the same as it said yesterday, 19 degrees.
Yeah, that can't be good for Jacksonville. Really, that's not – when was the last time anyone on that team was in 19-degree weather?
No.
Pittsburgh's miserable a lot.
All the time.
Yeah.
And when it's 19 degrees and you don't play the run well, guess what's going to happen all day?
Yeah. And my bounce back hockey play tonight, not for much. Calgary, Tampa Bay over 5.5.
Okay.
Tampa's really good.
Yeah, it says Philly 49 and raining, 49 and heavy rains, it says.
Okay.
In Foxborough, 51 and heavy rains. It might be an ugly day of television.
Yeah. That might back me off the over in the Patriots, but I'll stick with the 13.5.
All right.
But, that probably helps the Eagles, huh?
I would guess so, because the Eagles, the Falcons obviously won't. But the Falcons are a little bit different this year. They've thrown less, but it's mostly been because their run game hasn't been as good as it was last year. Last year, their run game was really good, and it opened them up for a lot of throwing. This year, their run game has been kind of meh.
And the Eagles definitely want to run the ball. The Eagles have to run the ball.
Yeah, that game I won't touch. We hit on this yesterday. I just think the Eagles are such a high variance team because
both these teams are high variance.
Yeah, so are the Falcons. And when you do that, there's just, I mean, to me, it's almost guesswork as to which one's going to show up. And I don't like to invest that way.
Yeah, I'm with you. Now the other game that has two high variance teams is the Pittsburgh Jacksonville game. But I just feel like with the revenge factor and weather and just the matchup itself, I think the Steelers are going to just stomp their heads in.
Yeah, and keep in mind, this is the round of the playoffs where you see a lot of routes, too.
Yeah. What's funny is Jacksonville, to me, they match up pretty well if they were to play New England. But I just don't see them doing anything against Pittsburgh.
I'm kind of with you. I think we're going to get Steelers-Patriots on that side, and then I think we're going to get I have no clue how the other side's going to turn out, but
you also think that the Saints-Vikings game is basically the NFC championship.
Yeah, I think that's your NFC championship game, unless they break Drew Brees or something.
Yeah.
And the Saints somehow win and Drew Brees is dead. Then I'll change my opinion. But because I think the Vikings, if you just take away the fact that it's Case Keenum and look at what the guy's done at quarterback.
Yeah. That's hard to do, though, man.
I know it is hard to do, and especially since, now he's in the playoffs. A little different animal.
It's hard to do.
But, a lot of guys late in their career, well, not a lot of guys. Rich Gannon did. Kurt Warner did.
Yeah.
That's about it. It's a pretty short list of guys who suddenly got good late in their careers. But, we'll see. That's the one thing that gives me pause about them. Obviously, we know what the concern is with the Eagles. That's why I think the Saints may be the most complete team left. And I know they can beat you in a lot of ways.
It could be.
And I feel pretty good that they're going to go in there and make a good accounting of themselves. And then you're going to need the, if you're the Vikings, you're going to have Case Keenum go out and make some plays for you.
Yeah.
Which he's done, but can he do it in the playoffs? And I think it's a fair question. And the other interesting thing, I guess, is the rumors that Shermer's going to get the Arizona job and then try to sign Keenum. What if Keenum gets him to the Super Bowl? Don't the Vikings have to franchise him?
That's where it gets weird, yeah.
Yeah.
They probably do. Yeah, the Saints, it's hard for me to say the Saints are the most complete team left because they're still middle of the pack defensively.
They're certainly the most complete offensive team left.
Agreed on that.
They can beat you. They can beat you more ways than the other teams, and I think they're good enough on defense. Although, I still think back to that last week of the season when they let the Bucs run down the field on them. But they had a pretty good year defensively. I feel good about it. The Vikings have the best defensive team left, in my opinion.
Vikings or the Jags?
Yeah, it's pretty close. I think I'd probably take the Vikings just because I know they have a chance to advance. And I think the Jags are done this week.
But you know what? Pittsburgh, they ranked fifth in yards allowed this season.
Mm.
They're pretty good, too. And they can score. Pittsburgh might be the most complete team left.
Well,
and even with considering Antonio Brown's going to be back, Pittsburgh might be more complete than New Orleans offensively.
Maybe so.
And better on defense.
Well, they have the one superstar back while the Saints flip-flop two guys, right. But they have better receivers than the Saints, I think.
Yeah.
Especially with Brown in there. And so Steven asking, Saints money line seems like the best value. Tell me why I'm wrong. Cheers from the West Coast. I think if you're going to play that, that's the way to go. I saw RJ tweet something out that if you think Jacksonville can cover, you should bet them money line because of their style.
Yeah.
And he it was an interesting tweet. He gave Bortles stats when the team is ahead versus when they're behind. And he's really effective when they're ahead. But I just don't see any way they're going to be able to get ahead and stay ahead of the Steelers.
And if you say, tell me why I'm wrong on the Vikings on why Saints money line isn't the answer. The simple thing is, since October 1st, the Vikings have lost one time.
Yeah. I mean, and they've been really good at home.
They're good.
But I do think this is, as far as value.
And that really good at home includes a double-digit win over those Saints.
Yeah, but this is a completely different team than what went in there early, and I think that's part of the reason why I'm leaning Saints here. But money, I'd like to get a little more for my money line than 175, but that's. Yeah. All right, quick break. We'll talk a little college basketball gambling next with Brad Powers. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And very happy to have back the lead college football analyst for pregame.com, but he also does college basketball, so we can get into that. Our buddy Brad Powers, you can follow him on Twitter, at BradPowers7. And Brad, before we get to the basketball, let's put a little bow on the college football season. Your thoughts on the Alabama game, and just in general, was there anything that stuck out trend-wise that you can start thinking about for next year?
Well, I thought the overall bowl season showed a heck of a lot of high variance. I mean, prior to the national championship game, where the spread was pretty much, you know, close to the number, with Alabama favored anywhere from 3.5 to 4, ended up winning by 3 in overtime. I mean, heading into that game, the underdogs had won outright in 16 of the 19 games they had covered by an average of 2 touchdowns per game, and then the favorites not only covered, but they covered by an average of 2 touchdowns per game themselves. So I thought that was the biggest thing that I took, you know, very high variance in the bowl season. And the thing that I get, if you're looking to back the favorite, you know, forget the money line, just go ahead and not be afraid to back them against the spread. But if you're looking to bet the underdog, maybe you want to sprinkle in a partial of your bet, maybe 30% on the money line, and therefore you can obviously, you know, make a profit and a little bit more and help out your bankroll by betting also on the money line on the underdogs.
So I noticed you have out your power rankings for all 351 college basketball teams already. How much labor was involved in that?
It took me a couple days, and I do it once a week. I do it each and every Friday. It takes me, you know, a good portion of that entire day to update it. I'd like to update it, you know, multiple times during the course of the week, but I'll be honest with you, when you're doing all 351, it is a time-consuming process. You know, maybe the frustration thing that I have, you know, this year in particular is, man, there just isn't any elite teams. You know, I put Michigan State and Duke at the top of the list. What do? They go out and lose both on the road over the course of the weekend last week, and Michigan State losing to Ohio State, Duke losing to NC State. And it was, if you go towards back, looking back at the AP poll, we entered the month of January for the first time since the AP poll started in college basketball back in 1948 with not a single team unbeaten in college basketball. First time that's happened since the AP poll's been doing it. So, you know, I look for a wild season. I'll probably even get more wild as we head into March.
Yeah, Michigan State last night, they won, but it was ugly. I mean, against a mediocre Rutgers team, they went to overtime. It's an ugly win if you can have those in conference. But yeah, you're right. I don't see a team at the top that I would think is unbeatable. Villanova may be the closest thing to it, and West Virginia's looked pretty damn good since their first game of the season. But yeah, everybody's got their flaws.
Oh, there's no question about it. And look, you know, I think the team with the highest ceiling is probably Duke just because they're so young. But, you know, offensively, I think they're the best team in the country. But they got a lot of significant issues on the defense side of the ball, and especially they're prone to the outside shot. And that's a great equalizer in college basketball. As the game of basketball, even at the professional level, becomes more and more dependent on the outside shot. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are on any given night. I mean, if the other team's hot from beyond the arc, I mean, just about anybody can beat anybody on any given night.
How do you take these teams, and the two that come to mind as teams in the sort of the top of the rankings here that really thrive on almost exclusively defense, and that's Virginia and Texas Tech? I mean, how do you take into account teams like that? Because like you said, Duke, they can outscore everybody. But Texas Tech and Virginia, these teams that play just a different pace, and they force a different pace, and they force bad shots. They force fewer shots. How do you power rate them against some of the more traditional, you know, sort of even split offense defense teams?
That's a great question. You know, a team in particular like Virginia, because they're kind of offensively challenged. You know, I'm less prone to laying a big number with them, and they were laying a relatively big number the other night and couldn't cover it, but one thing I do get from them is a little bit more consistency because of their style of play. And where I really love backing those particular teams of Virginia, the Texas Techs of the world, and, you know, Cincinnati's a great defensive team as well, is, boy, anytime I can get some buckets with them and take the points, when I got an elite defense that doesn't give up many points to begin with and is getting them, that's where I really pounce and find some value in the marketplace.
Brad Powers is our guest, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about following up on Tech. How surprised are you with the success they've had, and obviously a big win over Kansas? Did you kind of see this coming with them, that you got them as high as number 12 in your rankings?
No, I didn't. I mean, they're definitely a high riser. Did not expect that whatsoever. Thought the Big 12 would be obviously starting first and foremost with a team that's won it 13 straight years in a row, Kansas. And, you know, I expected West Virginia to be quite good, and even they've exceeded expectations to a certain extent, but did not anticipate the elite defensive play that we've seen from them, and they're one of the many surprises that we've had so far in college basketball.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about some of these surprise teams, and if you think they're real or you think this is sort of fool's gold. I don't think anybody saw Auburn doing what they've done so far, and Auburn has been really fantastic, especially on offense. You know, they're putting up big numbers, 87 points per game, which is just crazy in college basketball. Clemson is another team that's sort of done better than I think most people would have expected. And obviously Arizona State, which was sort of the story all at the start of the season. They got a couple really good freshmen, but I don't think anybody saw them starting out 13-2. Of these teams, who do you think is real? Who do you think, you know, come March we'll probably be forgetting about?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned with all three. You know, we'll start with Auburn. The concern that I have for them, you're right, they're lead on the offense side of the ball, defensively above average. But the big concern is they benefited from a relatively weak schedule, not even a top 140 schedule so far. So as they get into conference play and play more, you know, the top to bottom, I mean, the SEC is not one of the best conferences, but Kentucky, Texas A&M, Florida, and on a week-to-week basis is going to give them a little bit more of a better look than what we've seen so far. That's a concern that I have from them. You know, Clemson, I like the, it's flip-flop with them. It's actually the defense side of the ball that I really like them. I think a really good test tonight. They're actually favored by about 4 points on the road against the NC State team that just got done outright upsetting Duke. I think that's the type of test that they're for real. They go in there and get the job done tonight and not only win the game but cover the four-point spread. And then Arizona State, I actually think they've been a little overvalued in the marketplace after that Kansas win. Keep in mind, after they beat Kansas, that was their ninth straight cover at that point. And since then, they've only covered two games and lost a couple of them outright. And you look at them on the obviously elite offensively, top five offense in the country, but defensively, not even in the top 100. When you start analyzing the top 20, 25 teams in the country, I can make a strong case that they might have the worst defense. And to me, that would signify I would be very leery laying a lot of points with that Arizona State team.
All right. That's Brad Powers from pregame.com.
I got one more question for Brad. At what point do you think Texas A&M needs to start panicking?
Almost now, but, I mean, there's ebbs and flows to the college basketball season, so it's not like a football season where you only got a couple of data points and a couple of really negative ones can put you back. They're still in decent shape right now, but obviously it hasn't been a good look. Now, I mean, the other night they covered. I mean, they lost against Kentucky, but that was still a cover for them, a tough loss. I was worried, you know, prior to that and really back Kentucky the other night. I thought Texas A&M was in a bad spot. Kentucky was coming off a loss against Tennessee I would thought would be motivated. So I actually liked what I saw from Texas A&M. The next game being key. I mean, you got to break the losing streak somehow here and not really let it affect you, but a little bit worried now, but it is only January, and you don't win championships in the month of January.
All right, that's Brad Powers. Follow him on Twitter, at BradPowers7. Brad, appreciate the time as always. Great stuff, man.
Hey, appreciate you guys. You guys take care. Enjoy the games this weekend.
All right, that's Brad Powers. And if you lose and you make a mess in your home, who would clean it up for you?
Dirt-free carpet clean. Well, at my house, my wife would probably clean it up, or she would make me clean it up. And if that happened, I would make my kids clean it up. But, yeah, somebody's going to clean it up. But now's the time to save big on cleaning your carpets, your air ducts, your tiles, your upholstery with dirt-free carpet. They'll clean one room free right now with any purchase. That means you pay for one room. They'll clean the second one absolutely free. Give them a call, 281-DIRT-FREE. That's 281-347-8373 for dirt-free carpet. Go chemical-free with dirt-free carpet. They use powerful engines to create high-pressure steam made from their patented super water. Your carpets are fresh, deep cleaned without soap or unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing it for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Give them a call right now, 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373. Tell them you heard it here. You'll get that one room of carpet cleaned free with any purchase. 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for...
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge. Howdy, Houston. Dave South here. Sports!
Sports! For a little while longer. It's time to get on the map. SportsMap.com, your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports on the internet. Man, bunch of good stuff on there today. Just go to SportsMap.com and follow us on Twitter at SportsMapHOU. Got Granato talking about Bill O'Brien winning the battle. Jim Rodriguez, who works over on the network, basically says the Lakers need LeVar Ball. That's on there.
Okay.
Yeah. Barry Laminack wrote about what the Astros should do with the pitching. And there's also a story from last night that I wrote on Brian Gain being hired as your new GM. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Before we get to this, one of the funniest things that around here sometimes, it's a little bit of an inside deal, is when you hear the traffic bed going, and it goes for like 10 seconds, and all of a sudden you hear these pounding feet running down the hall.
Yeah, someone was talking to me.
Who was it?
Nobody important.
Mm. You never throw people under the bus when they need to be.
But
because I look at the clock, and then I have this internal clock going in my head. I'm like counting, right? I run to the kitchen, and then I was supposed to run there and come back, and then I got stopped, and then my counting kind of, you know, disappeared.
Yeah. Well, you made good time because I heard you flying down the hallway there.
I heard the traffic bit going, shock, bleep.
All right. Are you a fan of sharks, either one of you guys?
I don't like sharks.
Not a fan of sharks, but
I don't like
sharks.
Shark Week. I don't like Shark Week. I don't like shark skin boots. I don't like sharks.
How about
Sharknado?
No.
Hmm. The shark pick?
No.
Okay. How about snakes?
You already know my take on that. No, I'm against snakes.
Okay. Well, then you would really hate the viper dogfish.
Is it half shark, half snake?
Pretty much. It's an exceedingly rare black shark that has extendable jaws like snakes.
What?
Yeah. They can basically do the big snapping thing with the extendable jaws. Five of them were caught off the coast of Taiwan. They're very rare. And the good news is they swim very deep, so you don't have to worry about them unless you're going down to, say, 1,000 feet, which I have no reason to ever do.
No.
And they're fairly small. They're only 21 inches.
I don't even like getting in the ocean.
Well, there's another reason not to, because you know what happens. It may only be 21 inches now, but these things are going to grow, and we're going to have shark snakes all over the place.
Eventually, it's going to happen.
And you know what? The only thing that would make this species worse is if it had 8 spider legs.
Yeah, that would be bad.
If you added 8 spider legs to this thing, that's one of those where God's just messing around. You know, it's like, let's come up with something that'll piss off Hoffman. Yeah, I'm going to create the viper dogfish. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Hey, can we get on a call? Because UTEP James has been on hold for a while, and I wanted to get him on.
All right.
What's up, UTEP James?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
We're doing sports, man.
Got an interesting question for you. Who, Coach Grizz, would you rather, Gary Kubiak or Marvin Lewis? I'll hang up a
list. Whose coaching career would I rather have?
Yeah.
Gary Kubiak, not even close.
Yeah, I'd rather get fired than win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Then
he's got a Super Bowl. That ends the discussion.
Here's an interesting question.
And then after he won the Super Bowl, he was like, I'm out. Before y'all can prove me fraud, I'm out.
Exactly.
He did it the right way. Yeah, I'd take Kubiak for sure.
Hmm.
A guy who won a Super Bowl versus a guy who's never won a playoff game? That's not much of a debate.
No. Yeah, that's right. He hasn't won a playoff game. So
been to plenty.
Yeah. Lost one to Kubiak.
Yep. Yeah, that's not it. I can't even make an argument for Marvin Lewis.
Hey, look who's here.
Look at this guy. I know.
Oh, man. I totally forgot he was coming today.
Yeah, Eric from Carbach is in.
My day just got better.
I know. Everybody's day but mine got better.
Oh, that's a darn shame.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
But he did bring some for me to take home. I can see it already.
Because he's
the man.
He's a good dude, man.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
But yeah, we haven't had Eric in a while, so he'll be he'll join us in the next segment. Probably stick around for 2 segments because that's how we normally do it.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm normally drinking, so I may want to get him out.
Yeah, you may be just like, oh, man, that smells so good. I can't
have
it.
That may be the way to go.
Yeah. I could see that happen.
He was trying to peer pressure me on Twitter earlier, which I don't appreciate.
See, now, you know what? You got to give me credit. When you go on your non-drinking things, I never try to talk you into it.
It's true.
I try to be supportive.
Yeah, you're right. I agree.
I'm one of the few people that does that.
Did I see on Twitter you're also only eating 800 calories?
Something like that.
Oh.
Yeah. Between 800 and 1,000. Sometimes I'll go crazy and I'll have 1,000 calories.
How's that going?
I mean, it's going pretty crappy, but I've lost 17 pounds.
Yeah, oh, wow. I'm actually starting a very similar thing Monday for 2 weeks because I got another race coming up and I want to get 15 pounds off before the race.
The biggest problem for me is eating, not eating very much, and then keeping my workout routines the same. Because what's happened to me for the last 11 days at the gym is I've gotten my ass kicked by... There's a food chain when you're at an MMA gym of... That's just the way it works. It eventually it settles out, and every once in a while somebody will pass somebody else on the food chain. I'm elderly at my gym, so I'm probably fading down the food chain some.
But you're not plankton, right? You're
No. I mean I do pretty well against almost everybody at my gym.
Okay.
The last 10, 11 days, guys that are like if you make me a tiger on the food chain, they've made me into like a chimpanzee. Like
so monkeys are beating your ass is what you're saying.
That's basically what's happening. I think like an antelope beat my ass the other day. It was That's the bad part. That's the downside to not eating much.
All right, quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.